You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, we're back. All right. Hey, thanks so much for being a part of this this moment with these parents. It's a big thing. It's an important thing. I'm so glad we're doing this this holiday weekend. So Thanksgiving was fun, I hope. I know it's a mixture of things, isn't it? It's food, family, awkward conversations, right? Great conversations, fun times, a lot of traveling, all kinds of things. And photo ops, too, right? There's a lot of photo ops. Did you guys take any pictures? No? Okay, if we had a, so we had we've got this little sweet beautiful Layla, which is my daughter, not my daughter, that'd be cool, but my sister's a daughter, and she's 18 month old, and there's a lot of pictures of her, and I want to show you a picture that I think sums up a lot of things. I showed the first service, this service, the picture, and I got a weird reaction, but let's just see what you guys think, okay? I think this was summed up everything that she was feeling and the mixture of everything. Let's put that up really quick. Right there, you see that? I don't know if you can, she's happy, but I think she's saying something else. What else? I think she's communicating, like, I'm done. This is the last picture. I'm smiling. This is the last picture, right? Oh, that's hilarious. See, that? I thought it was so funny. I put it on social media. I was like, this is so hilarious. This is awesome. This is awesome. Yeah, okay. All right, you can take it down. I thought it was so much fun. But you know what's interesting in these environments, like Thanksgiving, where family's involved, and you have a community of gatherings when there are a lot of people involved. Everybody plays a different part. Like, have you noticed, like, there are always people who are certain ones. Like, you have the loud one. Anybody have a loud one in their family, right? The quiet one, the opinionated one, the strange one, you know, the aggravated one, the extremely excited one. I mean, everybody has, there are people you talk about and there are people who talk about you in these gatherings. I mean, it's just kind of a mixture of things. Everybody kind of plays a part. It's interesting because I think that this is an important conversation for us because we do need to play a part. Like, we all play a certain part. I mean, I play a dad, a brother, dad, brother, husband, brother-in-law, and even pastor, even in these gatherings. Like, I've got family, but I mean, I'm apparently the only one who can pray over a meal. Because they're always like, Naeem. I'm like, what do you mean? Come on, man, just pray. Just pray. My prayers now have gone, before I had the pressure, I was like really focused on them. Like, I would go all out. This time, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, let's eat. And they're like, what? I'm like, so not thank you, Jesus? Was that not enough? You know? And anyways, it's fun. It's fun. We all play a certain part. The reason why it's important is because the conversation we started. So if you're a guest here, we started a series called Glow, in which Jesus talks about, it's a verse that Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And so last week we began the conversation talking about if God's calling us to something, if God's calling us to be be this light, there's something to not just you and me living our lives. And so last week I said, hey, I want you to actually consider not being a Christian. Like, stop being a Christian. In fact, become the church. And so if you look at the scriptures, if you look at the teachings of Jesus, he moves us out of this individualistic, hey, you are going to pursue your spirituality, into actually a corporate identity in terms of the church. And he says, and he believes that there is a synergy, if you will, a spiritual synergy that takes place if you and I become us. And so we tap into this this extra energy. We become this force that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The death itself cannot come against this. Alone, it's one thing, but together, we're so much more. We are this extra. We're this more than natural. We are, in fact, supernatural. And so that's really been the conversation, is what does it look like for us? What does it look like for you and me to become us? What does it look like for us to become the church? And so this morning, I think we need to talk about how we, you and I, play a part, a particular part in being the church. So what I want to do is I want to take you through passages of Scripture and actually several of them. So if you've been coming to Mosaic and you thought, you know what, I wish that Naeem just used more Bible, like more Bible, man, more Bible. Well, Merry Christmas. Today, you're going to get all the Bible, okay? So we're going to go through 16 verses. Not really. No, maybe six. Okay, so we'll ease you in here. So the first passage of Scripture is actually a story. It's found in Luke chapter 10. And this is the story of Martha, actually, Martha, okay? So, Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, this is what it says. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into their home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Anybody remember the story? Anybody? Yes, right? Okay. So, but then Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said this, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just what? Sits here while I do all the work. Hello, passive aggressive. Anybody? Okay. Tell her. This is awesome. I'm not going to tell her. Like, this is awesome, right? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, dear Martha, you are worried and upset about over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be what? Taken away from her. You've heard this story. Okay, let's just find yourself in the story. If you are a Martha type, if you're worried about the details, if you're worried about pulling off an event, I mean, if you are in charge of Thanksgiving, turkey, it's all in the details. What do you mean? Don't worry about details. You're not going to have anything to eat, Jesus. I mean, I know you can make wine and bread, and apparently you can do all miracles, but there's nothing short of a miracle in the kitchen that needs to happen to get dinner here. And yeah, I mean, seriously, what's going on? And we've heard the story, right? We've heard the story. If you've never heard this, the idea about this, the moral of the story is what? Be like who? Be like who? Be like Mary. Don't be a Martha, be a Mary. What did Mary do? She came and sat at Jesus' feet while Martha was running around doing all the work. This is really interesting, isn't it? Because that's been the message that's been preached, taught. That's been the message and the idea and even the position of the church. We come and sit. Because it's more important to come and sit and listen and sit and experience and sit and be taught and sit and see and sit and just indulge, sit and just consume. It's sit. We sit in His presence because that's what you're supposed to do as the church. We're not supposed to do anything else, which is not true at all. And what's interesting about this passage of Scripture, like all the other passages, there's a lot more that's behind the scenes. There's so much more going on. There's so much context that sometimes we don't look at. And the Hebrew rabbis would have this phrase called turning the gem. They believed that the Scriptures was like a gem. Like when you shine light on it, you'd always need to turn the gem because every time you turn a gem, a jewel, you would see a different part of and the different beauty of the gem itself. And so the Scriptures are supposed to be viewed like that. You'd need to turn them and go, okay, what about this? What do you think if he's saying this? See, I think there's a different message that we have lost because, again, we have interpreted the Scriptures as a person. You and I, we sit with Jesus. Forget the world. Everybody needs to be like Mary. Well, here's the problem. If everybody ended up being like Mary, nothing would get done. Nothing would get done. So there's more to it, right? Could it be possible that Jesus is saying, hey, Martha, are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you satisfied? Because I don't think you are. I think you're spending your whole life doing things that you don't even like doing. You're not complaining about the work. You're complaining about your life. You're actually complaining about the fact that you are stuck with things that you know you need to do, but you in your mind you go, I don't even know if it's any value. What Jesus might be actually saying is this: I want you to be happy. I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to be successful. I want you to be significant. And I want you to find what Mary found. But at some point, you have to stop and go, am I doing things just because I need to do them, or are they actually making me happy? Because I'll tell you what people don't do when they are passionate about what they do. They don't complain about the work. They don't. If they love to cook, no one is allowed in the kitchen. Right? Can I get an amen? Okay, if you're a painter, if you're an architect, I mean, if you're a sculptor, no one says, hey, stop. Can anybody help me? Because I'm doing this sculpture all by myself. No, they go, don't touch that. Don't touch that. What are you doing? Don't even look at it. Because people who are passionate about what they do, they never have to ask anyone for help. Jesus is saying, hey, she has found, not the whole sitting here, she has found something that satisfies her soul. Martha, I think you need to too. See, for us, the question is, are we living our lives doing things that we actually are complaining about because it doesn't satisfy our hearts and our souls? See, the tension here is that we live our lives doing things and are busy doing things that maybe we know deep inside don't really matter. Like maybe we're wasting our lives worrying about things that actually will resolve themselves. And God's saying, I want you to live a life. I want you to live a life that you're actually fully satisfied and fully alive. You don't, you're going to go, you know, it's not about like the whole idea of like, let's just sit in Bible study or let's just sit in worship or let's just sit and just attend. Like that is not the message in this scripture. But yet we've said, this is it. We've said, oh, the church needs to do that. The church comes. We come to church because we come and what? Sit. We come and learn. We come in the presence. We come. So we go to church. We have church. And all these things of going to church and experiencing church and attending church and missing church and being late at church and being early at church, we never even stop and going, hey, how about just being the church? Like, that's a very different conversation. It is the Mary and Martha story, friends. It is not be like Mary. It's don't waste your life doing things that don't satisfy you. That's the message. See, Jesus says it this way. Another passage, he says in Matthew, he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you do, and what do you benefit? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than that? Is it anything worth more than you spending your whole life doing things that deep down you're like, I hate it? And what Jesus is actually saying is this. It's a bigger invitation. It's more than, hey, just by the way, just quit your job, which he's not saying quit your job, by the way. If you took that as a sign, let me give you another sign. You have a mortgage. Like, I'm just saying. You gotta pay them bills. I'm just saying. But here's what he's saying though. He's inviting us to something that's so much bigger, but he's asking a big ask. Here's what he's saying. He says, I don't want you to pray a prayer of faith. I don't want you to pray and give your heart to me. I don't want to come and live inside your heart. You're not a child. I want you to do this. I want your whole life. I want everything. If you give me your whole life, I will make sure that it's fulfilling, satisfying, significant, and you have more joy than you've never experienced before. But here's what I need. Not a part of you. I need everything. I know, you should have never come to church this morning. I know, you're like, it's Thanksgiving. Who goes to church on Thanksgiving weekend? You do. You do. You jumped online. You do. Yes. But you are ready for this. You're leaning in. Your soul wants this. That's why you're here. The answer is your whole life. And the reason is because Jesus knows that if you give him your whole life, you begin to partner with him and actually start becoming like the church, and you will move from being this church that comes and sits to actually the big idea that Jesus is calling us to is the whole idea of go and tell. Like, you're part of something bigger. When you give him your life, he invites you in. He gets you into a deeper purpose. Like, the purpose of your life is not the one thing you need to be consumed about. Like, that is not the biggest deal going on. The big deal is you make sure that your life is fulfilling a bigger purpose. Like, your purpose is a means to an end, not the end. You see, if you live your life going, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? You will live a life miserable going from one thing to the next. But if you go, hey, hold on, my life is actually fulfilling a bigger purpose, that's where the magic is. That's when you go, oh, I'm setting something up. I'm leaving a legacy. I'm doing something bigger and greater, more than I can even imagine. That, my friends, that's a game changer right there. And that is what God is inviting us to. That is what he's saying. Hey, I want you to jump into that purpose. I'm inviting you into that purpose. And that's the message of Jesus the 3 years he was here, continually. In fact, before he leaves, he says this to them. Okay, let me read this to you in Acts. He says, but you, he's talking to them, he says, well, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my what? Witnesses doing what? Sitting? No. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the what? Ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, I love this. This is awesome. And so the Holy Spirit did fall on them, and things started to change. And the first day the church started, it was bananas. People speaking all kinds of languages, yet they understood each other. I mean, it was going crazy. And other people did not know what's going on. And then, you know, Peter, the guy who denies Jesus, he's the first guy who he leads the church. He gets up and he starts talking. And I love what Peter says. I mean, this is, you know, he's not professional, right? He says, these people are not drunk. Because everybody's questioning what's going on. Okay? He says, as some of you are assuming. And then he says this. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Give us the day. Like he's like, hey, it's too early. No, he doesn't even say, oh, they'll never do that. No, it's too early, guys. It's not 5 o'clock anywhere. It is too early. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they're hungover. They're not even started. I mean, it's not happening. This is not happening. He has to explain this. But then he says this, which is pretty profound. He says, no, what you see here was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. He's saying, hey, God has started something. When he said he was going to partner with humanity to save humanity, he is doing it. We are now his. We are part of this. We are the church. We're going to see things that we've never seen before, and we're going to know things we've never known before, and we're called to tell people and show them what's going on. We are partnering with God. We are going to go and tell the world God is doing something. We're going to give our lives to this deeper, bigger purpose, and it's going to fulfill us. We are not going to come and sit. We are going to go and tell. We're going to go and tell. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, before he leaves, what does he say? He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, and you probably might have heard this. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, not come, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am what? With you what? Always, even to the ends of the age. You know what's amazing to me? That sometimes, I don't even know this, but I sometimes get into this whole come and sit mentality, where I just want to sit in God's presence, and then I sit in his presence and say, don't leave me. And he's like, seriously? Because here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want to catch up to you. Like, I want you to go and I want you to catch up to you. And by the way, when you were running so hard, going after it, by the way, don't think that I'm not with you. I'm with you always. But this is, he's talking to a group of people that he assumes are going to go after it. Not come and sit, but go and tell. That's where, I mean, that's why we are actually having the honor and the privilege to be gathered together here, because of the men and women and children who gave up their lives as the church to pave the way for us. And we are called to do the same. And I get it. You get healed by Jesus. You get a moment and you just want to sit. And I get it. I get that. I think there's a season for that. But here's what Jesus told a guy he had healed. This guy was he had all kinds of demons in him, and it was a pretty intense situation. And he tells him this, Mark chapter 5, Jesus did not let him come with him. Basically, he comes to Jesus and he goes, I want to go with you. You're going, I want to go. But he tells him this, go home to your friends and do what? And tell them what the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion over you. He's like, I know you've been healed. I know you're like, oh, you're on the spiritual high. Here's what I want you to do. Don't come with me. I want you to what? Go. Go. See, that's why the Mary and Martha story is not what we thought it was supposed to be. Jesus is not going, oh, and now just come follow me. No, he's like, no, I want you to go home. I want you to go home. And historically, this is the guy who actually was responsible for evangelizing 10 cities. This guy went home and told his friends, because it's so hard to go home, isn't it? It's so hard to go and tell. But he's saying, I want you to go and tell your friends. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to get up there. I don't want you to get up there. And I don't know how we got it wrong. I don't know how this happened. But I don't want you to get up there and tell people that they're going to hell. I want you to get up there. If you're going to be a street preacher, get up there and tell them what? All the great things that God has done and how compassionate he has been to me. What would happen if the message of the church was actually what Jesus said to do? What? What would happen? Hey, just go tell everyone. Just go tell everyone. Tell everyone. Tell everyone. Because when you tell them, it's all the difference. I know you love me. I know you're so grateful for what I've done for you. I know. But I need you to tell someone. It really matters when you tell, when you use whatever social media. I don't care how you do it. In fact, I want you to tell everyone by the way you live your life. But tell. It matters. Your actions, your words, your time. It all matters. You tell them, tell them, tell them. Because if you don't tell them and just feel it, it doesn't count. And you would think, well, Jesus, come on now. I can be in worship doing my thing, and you know it counts when I go, ooh, right? You know it counts. For some of you, this is the only church you've raised your hand. I mean, and you're starting here. It's moving up closer. We notice you. You're like, ooh, can I do this? I mean, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But if God's been so good to you and good to me, I got to tell, because it doesn't count if I don't say it. You know this to be true. How many parents? Do we have any parents in the house? Any parents? Make some noise. Make some real noise, like, oh God, yeah. I'm so tired right now. Yeah, moms, oh please. Okay, I get it. You know this. Before I had kids, I look at parents and judge them. And then I had some. Right? And there were phrases I would say, oh, I would never say that. I'd never say that. I told you, so, and because I'd said so, I never said that. There's another phrase I heard, and then I heard myself say it. And it's the phrase, it's so weird. If you dealt with kids, you know this phrase. And the phrase is this: what do you say? Have you heard that? What do you say? What do you say? You probably grew up hearing that. What do you say? What do you say? What happens is this. You have your child with you. Someone gives them a gift. Anything. It doesn't matter what. Or gives them a compliment. Anything. And then you go, what do you say? What do you say, sweetheart? What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Oh God, what do you say? And the person, if they get it, they'll just go, oh, thank you, and move on. But if they don't know, they'll wait, and then the tension grows. You're like, what do you say? You little devil, what do you say? What do you say? And then it's not the kid anymore. It's about you. It's your reputation on the line. You're like, what do you say? Oh God, what do you say? And the kid's like, I'm so happy. I don't know. Oh, he's licking the lollipop. But you're like, oh God, say. I have actually heard parents say it for them. Thank you. Like, I'm like, that was you, bro. That wasn't Junior here. That was you. Thank you. Yeah, why? Because we know this as parents. If they don't say it, it doesn't count. Right? They can be so happy. They're like, oh my gosh, you're my best friend. No, what do you say? Yes! Yes! Woo! That was awesome. That was the best kid's voice ever. Man, we know this. Okay. Let's get together. We got to end this service. Could it be possible the guy's saying, hey, what do you say? I've given you so much, man. Are you going to tell anyone? You right? Are you going to tell anyone? Are you going to do anything that tells a story about me and my kindness? Right? Are you going to tell anybody? Are you going to live in such a way with confidence and faith? Are you going to live such a way that tells the beautiful story of God? Are you going to live a life that shows people that God is so kind, so gracious, so loving? Man, live that way. Church, that is what the church is. That's your part. That is my part. We don't come and sit. We go and tell. We go and tell. Church happens outside, not here. It happens outside. We don't come and sit. We're revolting against Mary. We don't even like her. We're owning Martha, man. We're going to do that. But we're not going to live our lives worrying about the details that don't satisfy our souls. We are going to find the thing which will not be able to be taken away from us. See, that's the life that Jesus is calling us. I mean, Peter says it so well. He says this, you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for a high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work. And what? Speak out for him. Speak out and tell him what? To tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to what? Something. From rejected to accepted. See, that's what he wants us to do. And the way we do it, friends, is the way we live our lives. This is where it counts, the way you live your life. So, can I just get really serious with you? I mean, not serious, but like, just be frank. That means the way you tell people is the way you use your words. It tells of God. That means for some of us, we cannot stop. We cannot keep on going with this hate, divisive, judgmental words that we use when on Facebook or on Instagram. We are accountable to the way we use our words. We're so accountable. You cannot praise God and then slam someone and be so hurtful. So hurtful. I mean, do you know? I mean, and if this is online, I'll tell you this. This will happen if I tell you. If I right now denounced Jesus, if I did it, which I'm not going to do, if I denounced him, right, I would get death threats from Christians. I would be called a heretic from Christians. The Buddhists would come hug me. I'm not even going on their side. But Christians will give me death threats. Like, it's so twisted. So our words matter. It matters. Your time matters. The way you spend your time matters. If your calendar is, you're not serving anybody else and no other purpose, friends, you go to church, but you're not the church. You come and sit, but you don't go and tell. And then lastly, I gotta say it, by the way you spend your money. I mean, you can look at your bank account and go, you can know exactly if you are acting like the church or if you're not. And I love you enough to say this, okay? I mean, you might get ticked off and leave. That's fine. It doesn't bother me because it really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. I mean, I didn't start this thing. I'm not going to end this thing. You know what I'm saying? So, but it matters. See, if you praise God and do all these things, but then when it comes to the thing that has you the most, like the fear, the insecurity of money, and you've never tithed or you never give, you're being caught up. You're being caught up in doubt, and you're caught up in fear, and you actually need to move towards faith. You need to go and you gotta see. I can't tell you enough. Like, God wants to bless you, but if you're not gonna pass it, at some point He's gonna, like, hey, if you're not gonna pass this along, I'm gonna stop giving it to you. Like, it is a principle, guys. Like, you know how Jesus fed the 5,000? You know how He didn't do? He's like, hey, put your hand out, everybody. Boom, and it's on your hand. He didn't do that. How did He do it? He broke it and He gave it to what? Someone else. Could you imagine you're that person, you go, I'm not giving it to anybody. If you don't pass it, it doesn't multiply. It doesn't multiply. So friends, I mean, at some point, you got to move, push out of the fear and begin to do that. And I'm so grateful for a church that does do that. In fact, Ashley, I want to bring Ashley up, my wife. She's actually the children's director. No, she's not. She is the outreach director. Would you come on? Would you give her a hand? Children's director. No way. Not happening. So tell us about our church, how amazing it is.
Yes, it is amazing, especially this row right here. I love this row. Mm-hmm. Yes, so I love being the outreach director. It is such a blessing. And I have to catch my breath from walking backstage. Anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know about some of the great things going on in our community. A lot of you know about the Serve Day that we do twice a year in the spring and the fall, and you've participated in it and have been a part of it and led it. And I love that, and I'm so grateful for that. But there's so much more going on in our community that goes on all year round. In fact, this year we started Bags of Hope, which we do with Winding Springs Elementary School. And what that is Winding Springs is a Title I school, meaning over 90% of the kids that go there qualify for free or reduced lunch. And a lot of those kids don't really have access to a lot of food outside of the breakfast and lunch that they eat at the school. So what we do is on Fridays, we send them home with a packed bag full of kid-friendly food that they can open and prepare for themselves over the weekend so that they don't go hungry. And we actually this summer got to join with a local nonprofit called Bags of Hope LKN, and they are a volunteer-run nonprofit here in Charlotte. And together with them, we serve 11 area schools and over 260 kids each weekend. Yes. And to date, since the beginning of this school year, so just in the last 3 months, we have sent over 2,000 bags home with kids. And Mosaic itself, through Winding Springs, has sent over 320 bags.
Make some noise for that, yes.
And in fact, some of you might know that through our Hope for All campaign, we have been able to buy this back space behind us. And I kind of cornered off a section of that for Bags of Hope, and it's become a second storage space for Bags of Hope LKN. And so we store food back there, we pack bags. Some of you have been back there and seen it and been packing bags for us.
It's like a full-on pantry.
It is. It's so exciting. I love it. I want the whole space from Bags of Hope. and outreach. I'm slowly taking over a little bit more each week. And this Thanksgiving, thanks to all of you and your generosity, we were able to give out 25 Thanksgiving meals to families at Winding Springs. Yes. Yeah, it was really great. I had the opportunity to be there while they gave the baskets out and to meet some of the families that we serve, many of who are the families that we send their kids home with food every week, and it was really moving. Besides that, at Winding Springs, not only do we do Bags of Hope, but we do other things. We've helped them out with their Career Day. Several of you were speakers at the Career Day this past time. We've helped out with a Title I dinner for parents. We have volunteer with Read Across America. So many different things and ways that we are getting very intentional with Winding Springs Elementary and being able to partner with them. We've got some plans in the works for next year that are going to be huge, of doing a family night each week for next school year. And then also we have a group at Mosaic called Esperanza para Todos, and it's just a community group for those who speak Spanish or are connected to someone who does or just like the culture. And that group is getting connected with some of the families at Winding Springs because about 40-50% of them are of Hispanic descent.
You know, also on that note, the last dinner we were at was at the Midwood Center in Plaza. So a metro campus that's in Plaza Midwood. Actually, we leased a space out there in the Midwood Center, which is actually a hub for internationals. And so there's all kinds of services for internationals in the city. So a lot of Hispanic community there, but they help them with legal stuff and job training and language arts. And it's been really great because when we were wanting to get into that space, they're really careful about the churches going in there. And so we actually had we had to go and convince them why we would be a good church to be a good fit in that community. And so the day before we were supposed to go and make the case, I got a call that said, hey, don't worry, they don't even care. They know you guys, and you're good. And I was like, what? So we didn't realize is that a couple of years through What If Everyone and through our outreach, we'd actually gone in there, and we were on the team, actually cleaned their offices. Like, we cleaned their offices, and some of our people actually volunteer there with language arts, and so we'd already served them. So they're like, oh, Mosaic, and they're like, oh, you don't even have to bother coming. You're good. You're approved. And I thought, that was great. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, we're actually good people. You know, please, please like us. They're like, we know you. You're good. And so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. So besides Bags of Hope and Winding Springs, also globally, we are connected with a ministry in the Dominican Republic. And every year for 8 or 10 years, we've been sending mission teams there. And one of the things that they do is they sponsor kids to attend school. And in fact, our family has been sponsoring 2 kids for about 5 or 6 years. And so last month, I was able to go on the mission trip that we sent this year and meet the 2 kids that we sponsor. That was really neat to be able to just, one family, I was able to go in their home and meet their whole family and sit down with them. And the boy is actually our son Asher's age. And it was just, I just felt so maternal. I kept wanting to kind of hug him. But he was really sweet.
Yeah, he texted me like, hey, I'm bringing him home. It's a little harder than that, the whole visa thing.
Yeah, well, and his mom wouldn't have let him go.
Oh, so. Yeah, we got a mom.
He had a mom. So anyway, that's just a wonderful thing that we've done. And in fact, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the sponsorship program, and several of you have stepped up and are going to start sponsoring students, which is so exciting. And in the spring, we're going to do a big push. There are over 100 kids on the wait list to get sponsored. And this spring, we're going to do a sponsorship promotion to try to get as many of those kids off that list for next school year as we can. And then, of course, the shoeboxes. As hopefully you guys saw, the shoeboxes coming in. We've got so many. We have over 100 shoeboxes that have been packed up and will be going to these kids that we know and are personally connected to in the Dominican Republic, and they are going to be very excited to receive those. And next year, we've got some great plans in the work as well.
Yeah, talk to us about the Christmas offering.
So for the Christmas offering, one of the big things is for the Dominican Republic globally. I had the opportunity to sit down with the missionaries when I was there and just ask them some of their needs. And one of the things that they need is a van. And so we will be giving them $12,000 of the money that we raised to put towards a new van for their ministry. And then nationally, we'll be sending $6,000 to the church that we've been working with that is still doing Hurricane Florence relief efforts, because obviously that community was deeply impacted and it's an ongoing thing. So we didn't want to forget them, as even though they're not in the news anymore, there's still a lot of need there. And then locally, I am so excited about all the local things that we're doing. We'll be giving $8,000 to Bags of Hope, which is going to go so far in being able to buy food, and in fact is going to allow us to go from 30 bags a week to 50 bags a week starting in January. Exactly. And then $8,000 to Charlotte Family Housing. This is another nonprofit that we work with that's doing some great work here in our city. They are a shelter to housing program for families experiencing homelessness. And they have a phenomenal rate. They just have such an excellent program. And 90% of the families that go through their program end up in unsubsidized permanent housing, meaning that they can get into housing on their own that's not government funded. And they follow them along for 2 years, and they have a 92% rate that those families are still in housing after that. And then also $8,000 to Whining Springs. I was able to sit down with the principal at Whining Springs and just say, hey, how can we support you and bless you? And they want to send some kids to camp next summer, kids who would just never have the opportunity. So they're going to take that $8,000 and send some kids to camp next summer. And so lots of great things. I am so passionate about it. I'm so grateful to be a part of this community that just allows us to do this type of thing. Amen. Thank you.
Awesome. Can you give her a hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So before I pray for you, really quick, if you want to give to Mosaic or some of our efforts, you can text Hope for All to this number, 77977. So 77977, Hope for All, and you'll get a response back, and then they'll walk you through how you can give. Hey, let's stand together. Can we do that? Let me pray for you. So where are you in the midst of this conversation? What is God saying to you, right? What is he saying to you? What's your takeaway? I want to pray for you, and we want to respond together. I just want to pray that God would move you forward in the midst of everything that's going on in your life. Let me just pray for you. Lord God, I pray that we would be a community of courageous people that would not allow ourselves to be bogged down by all kinds of insecurity and uncertainty in our lives. God, for some of us, this season is tough. It's hard. And God, there are loved ones who are not around us anymore. There are loved ones who we did not get a chance to see for so many reasons. But God, I know that you're in our lives and you're calling us to move. You're calling us to go. You're calling us to tell. And so God, would you use us? Would you speak to us? Would you use us? You use our words, our time, our resources, our talent, everything. God, today we recommit our lives to you. Here's what we say. God, we give you our life. We give you our life. We give you our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.